Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 24. And I want to preach a message called First Things First. And in this message, of course, I'll be talking about priorities, putting first things first. When we consider first things first, what priorities come to your mind? When we think about what takes precedence in our lives, if we this morning were to take a piece of paper and a pen and write down what takes precedence, what is the first thing in our life? I think if we were to honestly do that, if we were to honestly maybe even take a ledger and determine what we spend time doing. Usually a good barometer of what our priorities are what we spend our time doing. And we have so much today that vies for our time. Pascal said this, "The last thing one knows is what to put first." The last thing one knows is what to put first. Dwight Eisenhower said this, "Taking first things first often reduces the most complex human problem to a manageable proportion." In other words, if we put first things first, if we have our priorities in line, if we understand what should come first in our life, then we will have a lot less problems in our life. But as Pascal said, the problem is, our biggest problem is we don't know what to put first or what we should put first. There was, or there have been many instances in life where we have to choose. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? If you were to be asked a question today, you know, if you had to give something up, if you were given a choice to give up two things that are important to you, do you know which one you would give up? You know, there's a lot of people today that are giving things up. They're giving up their Christianity. They're giving up their walk with God. They're giving up their separation from the world. They're giving up this and they're giving up that because somewhere along the line, these things haven't been a priority. And other things become more of a priority in their life. And you know, God wants us to have a priority list. He wants us to learn what things should be first. What things in our life should be first. There was a couple of guys, well, a group of guys, every year they would go out into the bush and they would go hunting. And one day they broke off into a couple of separate groups and they went out hunting. And this one particular group ended up being successful that day. They bagged a large 12-point buck. And one of the guys came dragging that deer into the camp. And he was with another one of his friends, but one of the guys who was already at the camp came back to the camp from one of the other groups, noticed that Harry was missing. So these two guys are dragging this deer back in, and the guy comes over to him. He says, "Listen," he says, "where's Harry?" And he says, "Well, a couple miles, he was helping us drag the deer a couple miles up the trail. We don't know what happened to him. He had a stroke or he had a heart attack or something happened to him and he just keeled over and he's lying on the side of the trail." And the guy said, "Listen," he said, you dragged that deer back, but you left Harry on the trail?" He said, "Yeah, well, we figured they're at least less likely to steal Harry, you know." what is your priorities when it comes to the things of God? What is your priority when it comes to life? You know, in recent years, a head coach divorced his wife of 26 years when he left coaching a college team to become head coach of the National Football League. He said he needed a wife while coaching in the college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their sons. In pro football, however, she wasn't a necessity, but rather a distraction to winning. He said winning football games was his number one priority, and his two sons took second priority. In contrast to this, Tom Landry, former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said this: "The thrill of knowing Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place. He expects me to use it to His glory in everything I do, whether coaching football or talking to the press. I am always a Christian. Christ is first, family is second, and football is third." But what is our priority? What do we put first in our life? Well, a priority, according to the Standard Dictionary, is the right to precede others in rank and order, a privilege or a precedent, the right to take precedent in obtaining certain supplies, services, faculties, especially during shortages, and then also giving something special attention. John Wesley said this: "The first priority of my life is to be holy." The first thing in my life is to be holy. And the second thing in my life is to be a scholar. A weakness of all human beings, Henry Ford said, is trying to do too many things at once. That scatters efforts and destroys direction. It makes for haste. A haste makes for waste. So we do things all the wrong ways possible before we come to the right one. Then we think it is the best way because it works, and it was the only way left that we could see. Every now and then, I wake up in the morning heading towards that finality with a dozen things that I want to do. I know I can't do them all at once. When asked what he did about that, Ford replied, "I go out and trot around the house, and while I'm running off the excess energy that wants to do so much, my mind clears and I see what can be done and what should be done first." Before we get into the message, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to look into thy word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessings of God. And we in this world, we can get so caught up in the things. There are always things that need to be done. There are always decisions to be made every single day. What we should do and what we should leave undone. And Lord, we desire, at least I believe we desire, to walk with you. And to make the first things first in our life. And may the Lord Jesus Christ have that preeminence. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Joshua chapter 24. In verse 15, the Bible says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, those that dwell, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua understood what first things were first. Joshua said, listen, you've got a decision to make. What are you going to put first in your life? Are you going to put first all of those gods on the other side of the flood? He's speaking there, of course, on the other side of the Jordan River. On the other side of that was Egypt and all of the pagan gods and the pagan worship and all of the worldliness there. That of course, Egypt being a picture of the world. He says, is all of that worldly stuff, is that going to be your priority? He says, if you want that, that's up to you. And then he said, and now that we're over here, there's the Amorites, and they've got their gods, and they're more than willing to proselytize you and take you as disciples, and you can serve their gods, and they can be your priority. They can be your first. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I remember as a Christian, a new Christian, when I was first saved, and I remember reading that verse, and I said to Diane, I says, we got to find that verse in a nice plaque or something. And we have it right there at our door when you walk in. And I said, I want that to be the motto of our house. That the Lord is priority. And you know, there are times in anyone's life where maybe you get caught up in other things, or you get caught up in this and you get caught up in that. But you know, for the most part, I would like to be able to say, all of my children would say, you know, the Lord God has been the priority of our life. I know if you were to ask any one of our children growing up whether there was any question whether we were going to be at a church service, they never wondered. I wonder if mom and dad are going to Bible study tonight. I wonder if we're going to the gift exchange. I wonder if we're going to this. I wonder if mom and dad are going to show up for soul winning. We were always there. We were always there serving the Lord. If the Bible was going to be read in the house, or whether things had to be approved, not by me, but by God, whether we're going to watch that movie, or whether we're going to do this, or whether we're going to do that, God was always priority. You know, I say always. I'm sure if you want to look, there were times when God didn't take priority. But I would like to believe that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And every one of us today has a question that we must ask. Is Jesus Christ, is the Lord first in your life? Does He take priority? Our schedule. You know, when we think about our schedule, I find this somewhat depressing when I look at the statistics about what we do with our time. You know, at the end of our life, if we were to live to be 70 years old, you're saying, preacher, I'm already there. Well, we'll use you as an example then, amen? I'm almost there. Still 49, though, amen? If you were to live to 70 years old, you would have spent 23 years sleeping. I hope you had good dreams, amen? 23 years, and by the way, I think 20 of those years are in your teen years. Yeah, that's when you did most of your sleeping. 16 years would have been taken up working. Unless you're a government employee, then it's about 8. I'm sorry if you're a government employee. I ask for forgiveness. About 8 years of those 70 years would have been spent watching television 6 years of your life. You stop and think about it. If you're 70 years old, you've spent 6 whole years eating. 6 years. That's a big meal. Amen. And if you're Baptist, that's 8 years. 6 years of your life. 6 years traveling. 4 years in illness. 2 years, and I'm not sure if it's for men and women, but 2 years dressing. I don't know if that means fixing your hair and all that other stuff, but 2 years of your life has been spent just getting dressed. That's crazy when you stop and think about it. 2 years is a long time. And according to this survey, the average 70-year-old in religious activities has spent 6 months. 6 months. I would say somewhere along the line, someone's priorities weren't right. You know, God has given us time. God has given us time. And we can't change how quickly time passes. We can't change the time that we've already spent. I like what my pastor used to say all the time, and he used to say, you know, the Bible says that we live 70 or 80 years. And he says, it's like giving you $80. You got $80, you're 70 years old, you've already spent 70 bucks, you've got $10 left. You got $10 left. I got 25 bucks left in my wallet, that's it, according to the Bible. Now, here's an interesting thing. I'm as cheap as they come. I'm Scottish and I'm Baptist. I got two black things on my ledger right there. I do spend money, but when I do, I like to save. I like to look for deals. I like to barter. You know, will you take this much for it? I haven't got any black eyes yet, so I must not be doing too bad. So I we think about bartering, right? Yeah, I go out looking for a car, and I'm looking for a deal. I'm looking at Kijiji, and I'm looking on Auto Trader, and I want to find the best possible price that I can for a car. Could you imagine if I had $364 million in the bank? Do you think I'd worry about spending $20,000 or $22,000 on a car? I probably would. But honestly, I mean, if I had $384 million in the bank, $22,000, what's the difference? It's only $2,000. It's no big deal. Here's my point. The more money we have, right? The more money we have, we probably care less about how much we spend and how much things cost. You know, when you're young and you pull your wallet out, and I got $5 in my wallet, by the way. That doesn't happen very often. You're young and you pull your wallet out and you got $72. Man, I got plenty of money left. And we just spend, buy this. And then you get to look in your wallet, you got $40 left. Ooh, I better start tightening up a little bit. And then, you know, you look in there and you got $5 left. You got $5. And so you pull into the Tim Hortons with your wife and you split a double-double. No, we can't afford a whole coffee each anymore. We'll just have to split. We'll ask for 2 straws. And you know, the older we get, you know, when we get to be 70 years old, we get to be 60 years old or 50 years old or 40 years old, we start realizing, you know, I've only got so many years left. There's only so many years that I've got left to do things. And so you know what we do? I didn't even know about one of these until I turned 50, a bucket list. I remember I first heard that from Dr. Jessup. He said he had a bucket list. I said, what's a bucket list? And he says, well, those are things I want to do before I kick the bucket. Amen. I said, I don't need a bucket list. And I started thinking, maybe I do. I want to go shoot a moose. Why you shoot a moose? He's not shooting at you. That's okay. I want to go shoot a moose. That's one thing. I want to jump out of an airplane. Hey, somebody amen on, Keith's not going to amen on that. Shoot the moose, maybe. Jumping out of a perfectly good running airplane. Amen? Amen? No, okay. That might be the last thing I do, so I better make sure I do the other things on my bucket list before I do that one. But there are things that I want to do. And you know, that list kind of turns into a priority list. You know, I want to do this and I want to do that. You know, oh, I want to win another soul for the Lord. You know, we sing that song, Must I Go In Empty-Handed. That was written by a man who was standing by the bedside of a 20-year-old man that just received the Lord Jesus Christ, who was terminally ill, going to die in a couple of days. And that man lying there, that young man lying in that bed, said, must I go an empty-handed, not one soul with which to bring. And he was a brand new Christian, and he realized that he was never going to lead a soul to Christ. And it bothered him. That I'm going to die, I'm going to go into eternity without ever winning another person to Christ. And you know, is it a priority to win somebody to the Lord? To win somebody to Christ? I don't know how I was going to work this into my message this morning. And I still don't, so I'm just going to say it. There's a guy up north here, and this is just me ranting this morning, and it just bugs me. There's a guy just up in the Muskoka, a young man, had a rage of, I don't know what you want to call it, a rage. Ran out of the cottage with a knife and stabbed his father to death and then cut his father's head off. And I'm sorry for being, this is graphic. He cut his father's head off, threw it in the lake, and he was just sentenced to 5 years. 5 years. Because he's addicted to marijuana. And he's a victim. Well, if marijuana does that to you, maybe we should get rid of marijuana. Amen? And you know, when we think about, you know, that guy's life, that father who was out, I don't know what he was doing. He was outside in the yard at their cottage doing something. But I don't imagine, in the wildest imaginations of any human being, he would believe that in the next 30 seconds, my son is going to come out of the cottage with a knife, stab me to death, and decapitate me. I really don't think that was going through his mind. And when the police got there, they said the young man was shouting, I'm Satan, I'm Satan, and making animal sounds and doing all kinds of crazy things. And you know, we think about injustice in this world, and we think about the craziness of life, and we think about somebody, a man, losing his life for what we would say no real reason. You know, he may have had a bucket list, but he can't fulfill it. And you know, we have got to understand our time is short on this earth. You know, back when I was a kid, 80 bucks would have been a lot of money. Now, 80 bucks barely fill your gas tank. If you got a big truck, it might give you half a tank, amen? Maybe a quarter of a tank. 80 bucks, that's all God's given us. And God says, listen, I want you to take that time. I want you to take that short little bit of time you have on this earth, and I want you to use it in the right priority. I want you to do things right. You know, time seems to be fleeting. It passes so quickly. And before we know it, we're broke. We're out of time. We haven't led a soul to Christ. We haven't done anything for the Lord. And so many Christians, maybe who have had plenty of opportunity, maybe who have had plenty of time, are going to be on their deathbed and say, must I go an empty-handed? Not one soul with which to bring. And it's not because we didn't or couldn't. Sorry, it's because we didn't. I've got plenty of time. And then we've got to prioritize or learn first things first with our money as well. And, you know, money, again, is an interesting thing. The Bible says it is the root, the love of it is the root of all evil. The root. And that's all preachers preach about, by the way. Amen. That's why are you preaching about money again? You know, God wants us to be using our money with a priority again. And all of our money is God's money. Just like all of our time is God's time. All of our money is God's money. And somehow we think that if we have more money, we're going to be able to do more for the Lord. And I knew one guy. he was about the biggest miser, even worse than me. Well, I think there's a difference between being cheap and being a miser. And this guy pulled his kids out of Christian school because he didn't want to pay for Christian education. Talking about priorities, you know. But he had a fairly decent job and just got out of college and was making a little bit of money and got married and he was tithing and then he got a good job. Got a government job and was making money and had benefits. And I was out with him one day and he says, we were talking about his job and he was thinking about all the money he made. And he says, this is what he said to me. He says, I'm not going to be able to tithe anymore. He says, you know how much that would be? I said, well, God gave you the job and you know, praise God for all of that, but we think somehow the more money we have, the happier we are going to be. I think maybe it is the greatest of the devil's lies that money is going to bring you happiness. And I don't have all the statistics here, but if you look at the statistics of people who came into money, they're not very happy. There was a fella by the name of Jack Whitaker. And Jack Whitaker won the Powerball lottery for $314 million. $314 million in 2002. He won it on Christmas Day. Man, he thought his life was about to begin. He thought all his problems were gone. At the time, it was the largest prize, single prize winner in U.S. history. And Whitaker was already a successful businessman. He was already wealthy. He already had more money than most people. But the sudden windfall proved to be anything but a blessing for his family. Over the next decade, both his granddaughter and her boyfriend died from drug overdoses. His daughter passed away. He was robbed several times, arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol, and he was sued by several people and businesses, including the Caesars Atlantic Casino, who sued him for $1.5 million in bounced checks to cover gambling losses over the years. And you know, the devil knows that we are often susceptible to the temptation to take shortcuts to try to get rich. And sometimes we think that, you know, if we get rich, we can get rich by maybe not giving so much to the missions, or not giving so much in our tithes, and maybe not giving to the building fund, or doing this or doing that. If we keep more, we're going to have more. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says the love of money is the root, or if I was to say it in the American version, the root of all evil. The love of money. And there's no shortage of people that love money. There's no shortage of it. Everybody wants money. People dream about money. People sleep money. People come up with all kinds of crazy schemes to get more money. Money isn't going to bring happiness, and money isn't going to bring an end to your problems. I remember when I was working at Ford, I was listening to the radio one day, and they were talking about a dilemma they were having in the city of Detroit. And there was a guy and his girlfriend that had won $7 million about 3 years earlier. And they said the dilemma that they were having in the city of Detroit was whether or not, now listen to what I'm about to say, whether or not these individuals should be granted welfare because they were flat busted. 3 years, they blew $7 million on drugs and gambling. And they were flat broke. They didn't have a penny to their name, and they had applied for welfare. And so now the moral question was, should they be able to get welfare? Were their lives happier? I don't think so. And again, I could talk for a long time about people that I knew personally. I think I've mentioned this before. I knew five guys at Ford in 27 years, five guys that committed suicide because of gambling debt. I never forget the last one. The guy's name was Toby, worked one line over from me, and he was 35 years old, lived in his parents' basement because he was flat broke, and he was up to his eyeballs in debt from gambling, and he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take it. And apparently his mother came home, and she noticed a light on, and that was strange because Toby normally didn't leave lights on. And then she turned that light off, and she came in the house, and then there was another light on, and she turned that light off, and then there was another light, and then she looked downstairs, and there was another light. And she's thinking, Toby doesn't leave lights on. It was a trail. And then she finally came into the last room where the last light was on, and there was her son, hanging from the rafters because he had made bad decisions, and because he got caught up in the love of money and the cares of money and thinking all of this is going to make his life better. Money can be such an evil thing. Yet when it comes to first things first, the Bible says, and it gives us a priority list, should I say, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. The Bible says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. The unsaved world, they're all worried about money and getting everything. Jesus goes on to say, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But he said this, first things first. He said, but seek ye first. You know, Pascal said so rightly, our biggest problem is we don't know what to put first. Jesus said, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, all of these things will be added unto you. Proving Eisenhower right, that if we do have our priorities right, our problems will be less. All these things will be added unto you. And then also in our relationships as well. And if we're going to maintain good relationships with God, friends, and family, we must incorporate and invest in time. When it comes to our prioritizing our relationships, we often hear it's quality and not quantity. You know, if you only spend 3 minutes with your wife every week, and you sit down on the couch, you know, women like couch time, what they call couch time. You're saying, what's couch time? That's where you sit and listen, men. That's all you do. You just sit on the couch and you listen and you smile. And you say, honey, I got 3 minutes for you. And you said, sweetheart, you got to understand, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. We're about to spend the best 3 minutes of your day. You'd see if that's going to fly your wife just a minute. She's going to hitch at what she's going to do. It's just not going to work. And, you know, we think about quality and quantity. You know, God wants both. Amen. God wants quality time, and God wants quantity. You know, Lord, I haven't prayed in a month, but I'm about to pray for an entire minute, and it's going to be the best minute. You know, it's going to be a quality minute of prayer. It doesn't work that way. You know, we need to spend time maintaining our relationship with the Lord. You know, somebody said this, we can't decide whether or not we live or die, but we can decide what we will die for. And you know, I don't want to say this. I'm not one of these guys that believes that if you say something, God's going to hold you to it. But there are guys out there that do believe that. But, you know, I would like to believe that I would die for the Lord. If they were to hold a gun to my head and say, you recant your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say, sorry, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to recant. I'm not going to put away my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. How much time and quality time do we give the Lord? You know, George Mueller, one of the greatest men of I would say recent times, the last couple hundred years, George Mueller read the Bible through. I'm not talking about just reading here and reading there. I'm talking cover to cover. He read the Bible more than 100 times in his life, cover to cover. Now, if he lived 50 years, that's twice a year. And I'm assuming he couldn't read when he was two. So he probably read it more than twice a year through, cover to cover. Where did he find the time? He wasn't a busy man. He was unemployed, sat around all day, didn't have a cell phone, didn't have video games, didn't have this, didn't have that. Yeah, he just had nothing to do. Well, let's look at what George Mueller said. He said this. He said, I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. And friends often say, I have so much to do, so many people to see, I can't find time for Scripture study. Perhaps there are too many who have more to do than I do. For more than half a century, I have never known one day when I had not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I have had annually about 30,000 letters And most of these have passed through my own hands. I've read them, in other words. Then as a pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I've had charge of 5 immense orphanages. Also, at my publishing depot, the printing and circulation of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessings I've received have been wonderful. End of quote. We can never say we're too busy for God. We must learn not only in our relationships with other people, but with God, we must learn to put first things first. What has your priority? I haven't got time for God this morning. I haven't got time for God this weekend. I haven't got time for God on Wednesday night. Or I haven't got time for God to hand out a gospel tract. Oh, I've got time to play this game or to watch this or to do that. But I haven't got time for God. Where is your priority? And if we were to look at what would be on the top of your list, would Jesus' name be there? And say, you know what? He is my priority. He's the first thing. And He's going to be first. And I'm going to live for Him. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He is going to be priority in my life. And I'm not going to let anything overrule that. I'm not going to let this or that, friends or people dropping by or whatever it may be. And you know what? God's first. I'm sorry. We have to do that. We've done that. People come over at the craziest times. Say, sorry, we're going to church. What? It's 5:30. Didn't you go to church this morning? Yeah, I did go to church this morning. I'm going again. It's the Lord's day. Amen? Not the Lord's hour in the morning. And besides that, I'm hungry and I want to go get fed. That's my priority. And that's where I'm going. You want to come? Amen? Bring them along. You know, we can't take back the dollars that we've spent. We can't take back, you know, the years maybe where we haven't had the right priority and put first things first. But there's something we can do about what we have left. You know what? You got 10 bucks left? Spend it wisely. You have 5 bucks left? Spend it wisely. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this has certainly been a message that I think will hit close to home when we truly consider what takes first place and learning to put first things first. Lord, we want to live for ourselves and we want to just do what we and our flesh want to do. But I pray that each one of us here this morning would be like Joshua and just say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is going to be first in our lives. And there's going to be no turning back. There's going to be no changing our mind. God comes first. I do pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that's maybe never seen the first and foremost step, and that is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray if there's somebody here who's never trusted Christ, that they might make that decision today. And for those that are saved, for us who know the Lord, may He have preeminence in our lives. And as we have this song of invitation, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. I'm just going to ask for the musicians to come. And just start playing 281, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. God's worked in your heart. This altar is open if you need to come. Let's stand together, and if you need your songbooks, number 281, we'll sing Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And again, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, this altar is open. You come and do business with God. Put Him on top of your priority list.